Bismillah, alhamdulillah, assalamu alaikum, greetings of peace to everybody. How are you? You come to get some food for the soul. You've been replete with everything else, but it's not satisfying the soul. Money can't buy that happiness. It won't bring you peace, not even a six pack of peace. You can't buy it. But possibly here on the Deen Show, if you have an open mind, humble heart, and you're willing to let the truth sink in, it'll come, because we got someone's story that we want to share with you. So don't go anywhere. This is another exciting show. We'll be right back with our next guest, Imam John, here in the Deen Show. Don't go nowhere.
This is the Deen Show.
Back here on the Deen Show, Imam John, assalamu alaikum, peace.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
What'd you say?
Peace and blessings and mercy of God be upon you.
I just love, that is the most wonderful greeting, and no exaggeration. We greet each other with peace. We're people of peace, is that right?
Oh yeah, no doubt about it, bro.
I'm not leading you now. You know, they say stop leading the witness. Is this the truth?
Yes, this is the ultimate truth of Islam. It comes from Salim, salam, peace.
People have heard me say this all the time. I can't get enough of it. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, hello, how you doing? What's up? But we say peace. Peace yeah. be with you. So mm-hmm. if a person is wishing peace with all the media hype, people maybe just tuned out mm-hmm. from CNN, Fox right. News, and they might have caught some radical fanatic, mm-hmm. which is maybe 0.5% of this whole 1.5 billion that are out there of those who have submitted consciously, not to the creation, but to the creator, the one who created creation. That's mm-hmm. the one we worship. But now the people got some funny idea. These guys, Arab fanatics, you're an American, mm-hmm. used to be a Christian, mm-hmm. Catholic, then mm-hmm. you were born again. Now you ended up a Muslim. Some people think now this guy's joined some fanatical, radical
cult.
You know, cult. You know what I mean? What do you got to say about that? Let's start off with that.
Well, Islam is the nature of the reality between the creator and the creation, brother. When we look at the essence or the beginnings of the concept of Islam, when God created angels, he caused them to be submitters to his will. وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ, it says in the Quran, and they do as they're told. And so this obedience to the creator is the essence. So that lifestyle is quite natural to anybody or anything. The Quran in many different places, سَبَّحَ لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ, that glorifying God is all of the heavens and the universe. Everything there is grateful and in humble service to the creator that gave them their right to exist. So we live in a peaceful state doing that.
Catholics outnumber born-agains, is that right?
Oh yeah, Catholics. Okay. Big group.
Big group. You were part of that big group growing up. Your family was Catholic. Right. Tell us a little about that.
Well, my parents were from the secular style of religion. So they were both raised in schools like Catholic religious schools and boarding schools where priests and nuns were running the show. And they both, my parents, had experiences growing up learning all of the sacraments and theology. But they did not get that spiritual fulfillment they were looking for in their life. And so as a result, me growing up, religion was really some sort of cultural aspect of our life. You know, we have the Christmas and Easter celebrations, and then every now and then we may go to a mass, which is a church Sunday. That would be probably once in a blue moon, as they say. But other than that, there really wasn't much instruction or teaching in our lives growing up about God. And to be honest with you, my dad is, you know, a very decorated football star from the Oklahoma Sooners. And so growing up, for me to wear orange, the Texas Longhorns colors, would be sacrilegious compared to coming home and saying, for example, I don't believe in Catholicism. So it wasn't that strong, but I knew of it because, you know, the Catholic tradition was there and it was sporadically coming up in our life.
So how did you now, okay, you're Catholic, your parents are Catholic, and usually people just go with the flow. Okay, mm-hmm. This is what my great-grandparents were, this is what their parents were, my ancestors, I'm not going to leave anything else, you know? Right. People don't give it much thought. They just kind of blend in. You didn't blend in, but you did for some time, but then you became born-again Christian.
Yeah. To be honest with you, brother, I often, whenever I go visit our brothers and sisters in humanity from other faith traditions, I often leave them with, after talking about the beauty of Islam and respecting what they have to say about their tradition, I often leave them with this point. I tell them, nobody in this room will say that their religion that they follow is right simply because they were born into it. That does not make it right. That makes it something from your family's culture. What makes it right is searching, reviewing, researching into the history of that text, into where did it come from? Where did these dogmatic beliefs come from? What is the prophecy? What is the tradition behind it? What is the miraculous nature of the one it was revealed to? When somebody looks into all of that, searches their heart, looks into common sense and historical reality of revelation, those people often embrace Islam. So my beginnings of that was actually at a very young age. I used to pray to God, knowing that there is this all-knowing, all-powerful, all-hearing entity that created the universe. And I really wasn't moved, as I said, from Catholicism. So touching on your question, I was about 11 years old, and I had a friend down the street, Adam, and his family were devout Baptists. And so they used to go to church every Sunday, even Wednesday, for Bible study and things like this. And they used to really try to indoctrinate me and help me to see the light. And what's interesting, brother, is that in that relationship, they clearly made it seem like Catholicism is not right. It's not true Christianity. And that I need to be saved in the name of Jesus according to their tradition.
These were the...
This is Baptists.
Baptists are saying that the Catholics, they're not on the right way.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I went to the church, did the special sinner's prayer and all of this, and the guy put his hand on my head and pushed me and told me that Jesus is in my heart and all.
Did you fall down?
I didn't fall down, but I wanted to believe it.
Did the Holy Ghost come in you?
That's what I wanted.
Yeah.
I was wanting to have all my... Anybody wants all their sins to be washed away with a free ticket to heaven type deal. Anybody's going to go, especially a young child or poor people in Africa that have no food and they're coming within and say, this is going to save you.
So you were waiting for something mystical to come overtake you.
I was looking for God. So whenever I embraced this, then it turned out that I didn't follow through with it because of there's a funny story, to be honest.
Share that with us.
Yeah. My mom took me to, and my mom struggled with, you know, many different husbands, and none of them were really up to par of a decent man. And so she was working two jobs and struggling to make ends meet. And so we went to the grocery store one time. And of course, as I'm sure you did growing up, I used to collect baseball cards and things like this. And so I asked her, can we get some baseball cards? And she said no. And so I ganked some, as they say. I snatched them. And I put them in my pocket. And I had been claiming to my mother for months before that I'm saved and Jesus is in my heart. And there's no desire to sin because now I'm one with God and Jesus. Jesus is in me, I'm in him, and so forth and so on.
You said gang something. That's like slang for snagged. Stole.
Yeah. And so as we're going out of the store, I get into the car and my mom, she says, what's that sound? You know, a mom, you can't put nothing by mom.
Yes, yeah.
Mom Dukes. So I told her, I said, nothing. So now I'm lying about stealing, and Jesus is in my heart.
Now you stole and you're lying.
Yeah, about it, yeah. So because this is the kind called Upper Deck, which is a kind that came out, was real silver, you know, like aluminum style or whatever, crinkly paper. So then she reached over and grabbed the baseball cards out of my She said, "What is this?" So she went in and mocked me in front of this, in front of the manager. She said, "This is my son who says he's saved and Jesus is in his heart, and he's stealing and lying to his mother about it." And all that. So I was really.
She just took you back to the store and
yeah, that's how, let you know, have that's it. That's how she has to do it. You know, yeah. She's trying to teach me a lesson.
Yeah.
So after that, brother, I started to take an introspective look at this whole idea of no desire to sin and one with God, and can you be one with God if you sin and all of this. And so that, just talking with different priests, I became somewhat of an agnostic after that point. I mean, I was just kind of like, okay, well, I know there's a God. It seems like there's a God. I feel it. I pray to him. I know that. But I can't connect with this religion. They're saying Jesus is God, but yet he was human. And then they're saying he died. And there's all kind of stories that I wasn't able to connect.
Mm-hmm. So. Let's hold off right there. We got a lot more to ask you. We'll be right back here with Imam John on The Dean Show.
On the outside, everything looks good. You see the $100,000 cars, you see a lot of diamonds, you see a lot of females, and they think that this is, you know, this is the life. This is like, you know, paradise right here on earth.
It's not anyone's job to go into someone's heart and change their heart. Your job is to tell people what the truth is.
And the reality of it is, while we're sitting here, while I'm sitting here constantly paying for the disease, the cure was free.
If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone. I am not afraid to stand alone. If Allah's by my side, I am not afraid to stand alone.
Back here on The Dean Show with John Yahya. So which one is it? Is it John or Yahya? Should I call you
My name is John.
John.
I became nicknamed Yahya the first day I walked into a mosque.
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
So wait, what is, for our brothers in humanity, as you said, there are brothers in humanity who've never heard this term. Yahya is one of the prophets of God?
Yeah, to be honest with you, because in America here, we have a culture rooted in what we call the people of the books tradition.
Mm-hmm.
They've identified the names of the prophets here in an English dialect, right? And the Quran identified prophets who were not Arabs in Arabic words to make the flow of the Quran recognize those people. So Yahya is John the Baptist. He is
John
the prophet.
The Baptist.
Yeah, so he's the prophet. Going back to our story, interesting, huh? So he's the cousin of Jesus, peace be upon him.
Mm-hmm. So that's who you're named at, John, and just in Arabic, Yahya, who is John the Baptist.
Yeah, yeah.
Beautiful. So continue on now. So you and this is a growing trend. You see a lot of people who will leave, or they'll stay as Christians, but they don't believe the whole Trinity.
Yeah.
They don't believe the whole concept of someone dying for their sins, or they'll believe it just kind of using it as a JC gold card, I call it, you know, just in case it's real, I'll die. I got all these sins, a free ticket, free ride. But at the end, you know, most people, some of them, it's a growing trend going towards this agnosticism or atheism because they can't make sense of what their parents are on. So they put all religions in the same boat. They say they're all man-made. These are all just opinions of men.
Right.
So you were there, right?
Yes.
What happened next?
So at this point of time, I'm around 13, 14 years old. And my sister, my older sister that lived with me, was starting to dabble into a hippie world and things like this. And some of the, you know, she was following the Grateful Dead. I don't know if you know about that.
I heard
coach.
Of them, yes. It's like a rock and roll band.
Yeah, back in the day, the hippies used to follow them around all over the country, leave a normal life. It was like a permanent Woodstock.
Mm-hmm.
So at any rate, my sister got delved into that. And of course, naturally, our household had some of the things that go on in that environment in it. So basically, as I delved into that lifestyle, then I'm in eighth grade and I start to meet some characters at school and start to get into some trouble. Got arrested in eighth grade, and so Basically, my dad jumped into the picture, who he hasn't lived with me since I was 7 years old at this point, but he wants to try to help out. He said, you know what, son, I'm going to send you to Bishop Kelly High School, which is a Catholic school. So he thinks that that's going to set me straight. Well, he's thinking of Catholic schools when he was a kid, which now he's 73, so this is back in the early 50s when he was in Catholic school. So I'm sure it was a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
At that point, we're talking about 1991, 92. So I went to Catholic school. Well, believe it or not, at Catholic school and at the parties that are involved in Catholic school, I started to meet some characters that were shady. They were not the good people. And I started to get worse than that. But at the same time, I started to think about my relationship with God, and I used to discuss with a priest there. His name's Father Dan. And I was almost killed in a car accident when I was 15 years old as a freshman. And I really had kind of a revelation. I need to, you know, look for God. You know, just, you feel like that anytime you come close to that point.
Was this at the agnostic stage now?
Yeah, I was kind of in the middle. You know, so I used to have long conversations with Father Dan about God and things like this. And believe it or not, I was in our discussion. So Father Dan does not know that whenever I'm not at school, or even sometimes when I'm at school, I'm involved in some pretty un-Christian-like activities. But my spiritual thinking and theological, philosophical introspection and reading of the Bible and trying to understand and reconcile was pretty intense at that point. So they had me, I was actually ordained as a youth peer counselor by Bishop Slattery of the Northeastern Diocese of the Catholic Church of Oklahoma. And so at that point, I started to think about faith, but shortly after that, I went off into the deep end. I got kicked out of Bishop Kelly. My peer counselor status was removed, and I pretty much left school for a year and started really getting into the wrong crowd. So in a nutshell, after a few years of this, a close friend of mine, Pat Marshall, was planning a robbery, and he was trying to plan some elaborate thing, but in the end, things didn't work out to the way when he shot a guy for ended up being $20.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was no access to whatever he was trying to get to. And so Pat ended up in jail for good. And
this was a friend of yours?
Good friend of mine. Yeah. Yeah. And so he went to jail, and then another friend of mine, Mike, was drinking and driving, and he was decapitated in a very horrible car accident on the highway. And so people are dying, and then in another case, I'm sitting in a house, it gets raided, you know, everybody's being arrested and all of this, and they're trying to put major charges on us for what's going on in that house. And in a nutshell, I'm really thinking about what I'm doing. At this point, I'm, you know, 17 years old, and so I'm really thinking, what am I doing? What is this life about? Am I going to go the route of these characters and end up dead or in jail for the rest of my life, or am I going to do something with myself? So as I mentioned before, I always took a spiritual philosophical route. So once I was blessed through my dad's attorney, Bobby Jackson, to get out of that situation, I started to really rethink what I was doing in my life. And so I researched and read. I took philosophy, comparative religion courses, and things like this, psychology in the community college. I wasn't looking for a degree. I was looking to understand what's going on. And in that process, I came to a conclusion of a universalist ideology. I'm sure you're a Unitarian Universalist.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, okay, well, God's one. He's obviously touched mankind and sent some inspiring messages. The law and the concept of good and right and wrong is all defined, but people have all argued about who is God and what's all that. So I'm just going to stay out of all of that. After that point, I met a guy. I was at an Olive Garden restaurant trying to get away from the people and the environment, trying to train to get a job as a waiter. And the guy who's the head waiter there is a Muslim from Pakistan. And so we ended up having some discussions that were quite interesting, because And this is for our Muslim viewers here, the state of Dawah, and that's back in 1998. So the state of Dawah was so bad that all I knew about Muslims was the Black Panther, Black Nation of Islam movement, and then the original World Trade Center bombing that happened in 92. So that's all I knew. And so I told him, I'm not black, and I'm not into some Arab translation of the Bible that tells everybody to kill everybody. Mm-hmm. That's all I knew from it. And that's pre 9/11.
Yes.
Right? So that's where the Muslims were at in presenting themselves. And at that point, from what we know from statistics, Muslims were about 5 million in this country at that point. So, So in retrospect, I ended up going and buying a Quran translation from the local Barnes & Noble. And I was captivated, bro. Within just half of Baqarah, I'm reading it. And that was while sitting there, looking through the book at the bookstore. So I went and bought it and I picked it up and it moved me so much and it systematically cleared up my confusions and misconceptions about biblical history and understanding the concept of prophethood and God and salvation. All of those things were clarified and I really felt attached to this book.
The Quran.
Yeah. The translation of the Quran moved me heavily. So within 7-8 days, I had read most of it. I did a little skipping around, wanted to know about Jesus and certain things, but I read a large portion of it in like, so I came back to the, and here's the another sad reality in the state of our da'wah. I come back to the Pakistani brother and I told him, I think I want to become Muslim. His response was,